My baby does the hanky panky.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. In early 1966, a rock and roll song called Hanky Panky went to the top of the charts in Pittsburgh after a Steel City dance promoter and DJ named Bob Mack serendipitously gave it a spin. What Mack didn't know is that the song, recorded by Tommy James and the Shondells in 1964, had languished for nearly 2 years, prompting the band members to go their separate ways and get day jobs. When Mack finally tracked down Tommy James in Niles, Michigan, where the song was recorded, James told him the Shondells were no more. In an attempt to capitalize on the success of the song, James was talked into coming to Pittsburgh, but a new group of Shondells still had to be recruited. Musicians from a Latrobe band called the Raconteurs were signed on to perform with James, and the rest is history. I'm joined now by two of those musicians, Mike Vale and Ron Roseman, who became the Shondells, that produced a slew of hit songs with Tommy James, and half a century later have formed the Crystal Blue Band. They've released a new CD called Legacy with their own version of the Shondells' hits, and they have a big concert coming up that we'll talk about. Mike Vale joins us now in studio. Mike, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Appreciate it, Paul. Thanks for having us.
And with us by phone, Ron Roseman. Hello, Ron.
How you doing, Paul? Good to be here with you.
Good to have you. All right, so the year is 1966. You guys, who are from Latrobe, are performing in Greensburg as the Raconteurs, not to be confused with the newer Raconteurs. So who were you guys? Who were the Raconteurs, and what were you doing when Tommy James caught up with you?
Why don't you introduce the original Raconteurs, Ronnie?
Yeah, we're basically a group out of St. Vincent's College. We formed this group just to pay our way through school, play a few nights a week just to pay our way through school. And we were playing some rather different type of music for the kind of group we were. We were doing a lot of rhythm and blues and some jazz. And we were playing at the little place in Greensburg called the Thunderbird Lounge. And Tommy and Bob Mack came in to meet us there, and that's how it all started.
So did you know much about Tommy James?
Absolutely not. We knew absolutely nothing about him. In fact, I don't even know, Mike, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't remember even hearing about the record, Hanky Panky.
No, that's
the music we listened to.
Right. Those weren't the stations we paid much attention to, being a rhythm and blues act that we were. But when he came in and introduced himself, we looked into the situation because we had not really been aware of how big that song was. And so I made a few inquiries, and sure enough, I was listening to Clark Race on the radio one morning, and
the old KDKA show,
yeah. And he said, "This song is going to be number one in the country, mark my word." And he played Hanky Panky, and I made a U-turn in the middle of the road and went back and called the guys. I said, "Fellas, looks like this may be the window that we were looking for to open. We better jump in." And the rest is history. We had a great run.
And so, how did they find you guys? Why the Raconteurs out in Greensburg?
Well, Bob Mack, as you say, was one of the early players in this, and he had a group called the Sonics that backed up all of the groups that came in from the country, across the country, that came into his dance clubs. And I was a part of the Sonics to begin with before I went with the Raconteurs. But anyhow, Bob Mack had the Sonics backing up Tommy James, and so they were going to use the Sonics, but Tommy didn't like the sound, so he said, I want to look further. So they came in to Greensburg because the Raconteurs were playing the Thunderbird Lounge, and we were more the style of music he was looking for. So that's why he picked us up.
So how did it, you know, I guess one of the first things you did was go on television. They needed, because Clark Race was so crazy about, he also had a television show, kind of like American Bandstand on Channel 2. And he was so crazy about that song, he wanted Tommy James to come on and perform it. And, of course, he needed a band to do that with. So there you guys were. What was that like?
Well, we hadn't really performed yet. So we went on that show, just did a lip sync. We pretended we were singing and playing. I picked up a guitar, which I can't play at all because I'm a bass man. And I just started strumming the guitar and singing background. And it was fun, but it certainly wasn't real.
There's video of the six of you, by the way. I guess it's from a television show in Cleveland. We showed this to you earlier when you came into the station. And we'll try and put a link to that on. We will put a link to that on. Katie says thumbs up. We're going to have a link to it on our website.
Okay.
So people can see this hilarious video of Tommy James and you guys. And you're the one who's really doing the Elvis move.
I was sort of noted for that. Those who cannot play can dance. So that was my job.
You ended up not only performing with Tommy James, he needed a band, but you ended up being a creative partner. You were writing songs with him, one of which was Crystal Blue Persuasion.
That's correct. We started writing, actually, as the Raconteurs, and we had aspirations of doing our own album one day before we met Tommy. So writing was not foreign to us. And when we got to the point in our careers where, after I Think We're Alone Now, we were in a sort of a dry spell. We had a couple of hits, but they weren't really huge. We finally talked Morris Levy, the president of Roulette Records, into letting us take control of the next project. And the next project happened to be Crimson and Clover. And sure enough, he gave us total control of everything, writing, producing, recording. And we ended up doing an album that was the biggest album we ever had and yielded four top 20 songs in the country, singles. So it was great. And as we go forward, the Crystal Blue Band, Ronnie and Eddie and I are going to be doing a lot of writing together.
Yeah, let's listen to a version of Crystal Blue Persuasion, and this is one where Ron, you're singing the lead. It is the lead-off song on the Legacy CD that you guys have just put out. So let's listen to your version of Crystal Blue Persuasion, which is a song a lot of people are familiar with, and then we'll talk about it.
Crystal Blue Persuasion. Maybe tomorrow.
And that is the Legacy version of Crystal Blue Persuasion from their new CD, Legacy. And we'll explain some of the impetus behind this. But the song was a huge hit when it came out back in, I think it was the late 60s.
Right.
And you co-wrote it, you, Mike Vail, along with Tommy James and a guy named Ed Gray.
Eddie Gray was our lead guitar player, that's right.
And so describe the collaboration process, how you and Tommy James wrote songs. Was it like Lennon-McCartney where you're sitting at a table and you're staring across at each other, or how did it work?
Well, the process starts in one of three different ways. You either have a great melody that you're trying to marry up with lyrics, or you have a tremendous riff or beat that you know is a smash if you can find the right combination of messages, or a phrase. In this particular case, it was a phrase. We were in Atlanta, Georgia, and we ran into a local group who was opening up for us, and the guy backstage made a comment about how the peace movement of that day was like a crystal blue persuasion going across the world. And Tommy and I looked at each other and nodded like, I know what we're going with this. So that's how that song started, just with a phrase. And naturally, when you listen to the lyrics, you can see how it ties so well into the phrase.
Ron, there were other hits, of course, Money Money, and I Think We're Alone Now in Crimson and Clover, which we've mentioned, among others. So somebody was making money, and in his 2010 book, Me, the Mob, and the Money, Tommy James said the boss of the record company, Roulette Records, Morris Levy, who was the inspiration for the character of Hesh in The Sopranos, basically kept the money for himself. What was going on there?
Actually, when we all started this thing, Paul, we were very, very young and immature and didn't know anything about the record business or, you know, how the royalties worked and all this other stuff. And we sort of looked at, as this thing grew, we were going to just bank this money that we had coming for artist royalties and not really touch it, leave it alone. Now, the guys that were doing the writing, of course, they were getting their writing checks for the publishing company, but our artist royalties, we weren't going to touch that till this thing played itself out, because that was going to be our nest egg. And when it all came to a halt in 71 and we were then told we don't have any money coming, that was pretty hard to swallow. And for a long time, we had some pretty bitter resentment against the record company. But in all things in life, you know, you've got to forget and forgive. Sometimes you can't forget, but you definitely have to forgive or else you don't go forward. But that was the intent all along. I mean, it was a mob-grown, it was a mob-run company. We didn't know that when we started. We found it out as we were there. But we still thought they were going to live up to the bargain and we had coming. And that was one of those things that we just, along with many, many groups back in that era, we weren't alone. There were a lot of groups that were affected the same way. Because at that time, the mob was getting involved with not only the movie industry, but also the recording industry in a big way. And it affected quite a few groups back in the day.
Well, Tommy James, he wrote about this in the book, and he must have known what was going on, what the arrangement was, because one day he went to Morris and said, "Hey, I want my money." And apparently, according to Tommy James, Morris Levy literally picked him up by the shirt collar and pushed him up against the wall with his feet dangling, and you know, and was just furious, almost as if to say, you know what the arrangement is. You're not getting any money. We'll give you. I mean, they bought him a house and they bought him some things, but basically there was little or no cash coming. And Tommy James was supposed to have understood what the arrangement was. So if he knew what it was, why didn't he tell you guys? Or did
that's
he just go?
Question.
What's that?
I said that's a very good question.
the one of the things that led to the breakup of the group, Paul, was the fact that the group, Ronnie and Eddie and myself and Pete Lucia, who has passed on, we really relied on the road money because we weren't getting anything from Roulette Records. Tommy, on the other hand, had income from a lot of the writing he was doing and a lot of personal appearances and things like that. So when he decided that he was going to stop going on the road and just take a break, that cut all of our income off. So we had to go off in a different direction. So it was because Roulette not paying us that the group ended up breaking up.
It's Essential Pittsburgh, and my guests are Mike Vail and Ron Roseman, two of the original Shondells, or at least the Shondells that Tommy James hooked up with when the song Hanky Panky took off and he needed bandmates and collaborators creatively who helped him write songs, including Mike Vail, who certainly helped write songs like Crystal Blue Persuasion, among others. And Mike, you are someone who has, I think, been a little bit embittered about this, if for no other reason than I think it was in his book that Tommy James seemed to marginalize your contributions and called you guys the first bar band he could find.
Right.
You that really got your hackles up.
Well, of course. What has happened over the years is, for whatever reason, the New York team of Tommy James has decided that all the credits for anything that's ever happened are going to be held tightly to their chest. They're not going to share those with anybody. My own personal opinion, it may have something to do with the future Hall of Fame induction. I don't know. But there has never been any credit given to the group for what we've done. Even in his book, in the chapter called Crimson and Clover or Crystal Blue Persuasion, there's no mention of the fact that Peter Lucia co-wrote Crimson and Clover. There's no mention of the fact that Mike Vail and Eddie Gray co-wrote Crystal Blue Persuasion. Why? Because that's a very highly publicized item, a book like that, and they don't want that getting out there. But we're going to change all that now, and that's why we're back on the road with the Crystal Blue Band, and we're going to let people know what actually happened back then. Hey, Tommy James is a wonderful man. He has done things, especially in regard to his wife, who needs a lot of attention, I really admire. But there are things that each of us do that are uncalled for. And you're right. I'm very upset. And we're going to send a message out to a lot of people about what our contributions really were.
And part of that was the impetus for releasing Legacy with your own version of the Shondells hits.
Absolutely.
And, you know, talk about how this sort of sets the record straight for you guys. You're singing lead. Ron is singing the lead on a lot of these songs. You're singing the lead
right.
on some of them.
Right. Well, the Raconteurs were not the biggest group in Pittsburgh for no reason at all before Tommy James ever came along. We were exactly that. We were the biggest bar band. We were the biggest college band because we had music majors in our group. We had guys that could really sing. We are accustomed to what we're doing now, and we're going to share it with people and let them know that we can do it as well as anyone else.
And you also have a gig coming up
Yes.
On
September 17th at the Casino Theater in Vandergrift, Pennsylvania. Tickets are available casinotheater.org. Casinotheater.org. We'd love to see you out there. We're going to have a ball and share a lot of stories with you.
And for you, Ron, what's it been like? We've got about 20 seconds here. What's it been like for you to revisit this music?
Well, it's really been fun to get back with the guys again and do the songs that we did so many years ago. I had been doing some Christian music, and I put my own CD out in a Christian vein. And by the way, Mike neglected to say something about September 3rd. We're also playing up here in my hometown of Dubois at an outside concert at the Ski Lodge.
Yep.
But it's just one of those things that you don't think about doing it, and all of a sudden Mike had got a hold of us and said, "Hey, guys, let's do this." So it took about almost a two-year stint before we finally got the product that we have now, and we put the show together, and we're ready to show America, just like Mike said, what we can do and what we have been a part of and what our abilities are and what we did contribute to the Tommy James and Shondells.
We've been talking with Mike Vail and Ron Roseman, two of the Shondells. Their new CD with the Crystal Blue Band is called Legacy. Gentlemen, thanks so much. We're out of time. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Mayor Peduto joins us tomorrow. Until then, so long for now.